Are you tired of playing small, keeping your big idea locked inside of you, of looking forward to the someday in the future when you'll finally know enough or be enough to take the risk? This is Ideas in Play, a limited run podcast brought to you by the Play Day Summit. In this show, we explore how people in different professions can use play to let their big ideas out into the world so they can make an impact. If you want to know more about the Play Day Summit, head over to playdaysummit.com. Hi, I'm Jeff Gibbard, and I am a professional speaker as well as the founder of a couple different companies. I create a lot of content. I'm a podcaster. I'm a blogger. I do a lot of different things. But today, I am here to chat with my friend Robbie. Robbie, hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Robbie Samuels. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I serve as a virtual event design consultant and executive Zoom producer. I also help entrepreneurs launch their business books, and I'm a business growth strategist. So love serving in all these various ways. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So today I wanted to talk to you about 15 to 20 minutes where I thought we could talk about how to improve networking events. So I'm thinking not just about how you improve it as a participant, but really more how as a designer of an event that will have networking, how do you create a better event there? And you are the exact person to talk about that because we're going to dabble in the world of croissants and bagels. And we've done a lot with the Play Day Summit, which I'm so excited you're going to be there and you're going to be helping us, especially with this aspect of it. But I really want to dig into what is it that makes for a better networking event? So just to start with maybe some observations, one thing that I noticed about networking events, a lot of people know me, they think Jeff's very extroverted. But turns out actually when I go into a networking event and it's too big, I retreat to the corner and I stand at a table because I feel a little bit overwhelmed by the space. Could be I'm overstimulated, not exactly sure, but I sometimes have trouble there and I kind of wait for people to come to me. I also have a really hard time with small talk. So those are some of the things that I bring into thinking about making a better networking visit. Well, how do you get someone like me who maybe wants to retreat into the corner and wait for people to come to them? How do I get people like me out, right? And then once you get me out, how do you put me in a conversation where I'm not going, I don't want to talk about the weather, man. Like, I just don't want to do that. So that's sort of where I'm coming from it. What are, you know, you have a deep background in the whole world of creating better events and more inclusive networking. What are some of the things that you observe as kind of common problems that happen in networking events?
I kind of feel like I want to ask you about the weather right now just to see what you say. But for serious though, I do think design here matters, but also thinking about what makes a space feel welcoming. So in my 20s, I did a ton of event, you know, organizing, a community building, and we would spend a lot of time talking about how we wish there were more, in that case, people of color coming. And then we would spend some time talking about, well, you know, how do we do retention? Because we did have someone come, but then they didn't come back. And in my 30s, I understood that there was a difference between inviting and welcoming. So that became a really key distinction and the basis of everything else I've created since. So inviting is thinking about who's missing and wanting to make sure they know about this party, this event, this opportunity, and you get the invitation in front of them in some way. Welcoming is that when they arrive, they don't just sign in, put on a name tag, circle the room and leave. They come in and they're engaged with. People are there to greet them, to welcome them, to introduce them, etc. Now, this works well if you have people trained to do that welcoming. The downside is what happened. I got invited to come speak for with the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship because UUA was planning to do these coffee shop like outreach programs. This is going back like 15 years. And they knew about the work that I had been doing in this area with a meetup group called Socializing for Justice. But they told me, it's a very common story. They said, we have five people each week assigned to the welcome committee. And sometimes they get kind of busy doing other tasks because they're also in charge of setting up the coffee urn, putting out the pastries. They might be like in a corner talking to a new participant or even just, you know, chatting with a friend that they're catching up with. And so they're not always paying attention. And they had this process where the new people had a different kind of cup. So the longtime members got mugs and the new people got silo cups, which I call them silo cups because they make people feel like they're put off to the side as opposed to solo cups, which is what they actually were.
Yeah.
So they feel like they're different. But the idea was that if they were different, then people would go and talk to them. But if it wasn't your turn on the welcome committee, you'd see someone holding a red solo cup and you'd think, oh, it's not my job this week. And you would turn your back and go back to talking to your friend. Mm. That's the danger of sort of talking about the responsibility of doing this, but then making it only the responsibility of a few. So one of my best practices is that I help quickly identify who the regulars are. And in my book, regulars have attended 3 events in a short enough amount of time that either you or they remember that it's been 3 times. So 3 times in 3 months, you're going to remember, right? 3 times over 12 or 15 months, probably not going to remember. It's yep. sort of scattered. So if someone comes 3 times in a short enough amount of time, I like to actually pull them aside and just say, hey, congratulations, you're one of our regulars. You may have noticed it's a really welcoming space. Here are some of the ways we do that. Would you be willing to, and then whether it's asking them to come a little early and kind of greet the newest people, because the newest people often come early. And then, you know, the organizers are busy setting up the room. They don't always have the space to like greet people. You want to have other people in the room to do that, whether it's helping out with registration or just being a friendly face in the room and knowing that there are other regulars that they can introduce anyone to. So they don't have to feel stuck talking to someone. They could always wrap up the conversation by saying, oh, let me introduce you to, and then walk them over to somebody else. But instead of having, you know, 5 people in charge of that at this event, I would recommend that we really identify all of the regulars for our chapter and give them all the same instructions. And I would even share the information with the entire registration list, because we want the newer people to know that the regular attendees have this sort of co-host mentality built in, so they can actually walk up to anyone and be well received. And what I found as a byproduct of this, Jeffrey, is that the more shy, introverted people, and those are two different scales, right? So they're either shy, introverted, or both. When they have the responsibility of being a person who helps others feel welcomed, it actually helps them feel more engaged. Like they understand their place in that space and they feel more likely to stay. Like actually helps with their own retention to give them that sort of responsibility. And so when I ran my meetup group, we called those regulars stars with a Z. I don't know why the Z, but they liked it. And they actually got a little sheriff's badge that said change agent to wear during our events so that it was really easy to spot them. And I would sort of call out about halfway through the event, we would do our announcements. And I would sort of say, hey, where are my regulars? Where are my stars? And they'd be all over the room. And that was a really important distinction, was I would tell people for that first half hour, don't just cluster together. You're here to really engage with people. And then you can catch up with your friends. But either you have a formal role in one of the, you know, bring people in, giving them what we also did, like bingo sheets and things like that, whatever role you had, or you were just informally in the space ready to engage with people and meet them where they are. It helps everyone feel welcomed if you make a plan to make everyone feel welcomed.
I love the piece about giving people a role. And that really clicked for me just there, because it stops making it about you and it starts making it about being in service of somebody else. And I think so often when we go into a networking event, part of what stops us from engaging or connecting is it's difficult to talk about yourself for a lot of people. It can feel embarrassing. You don't want the spotlight. You just want to talk to somebody else, and you don't want to make small talk about something that's not interesting. And then that might not be everyone. That might just be me. But by giving a role and saying, hey, your job is actually to make someone else feel welcomed, now it's not about the focus being on me. It's about the focus being on someone else and doing everything you can to make them feel welcomed. So I really appreciate that perspective. One thing that occurred to me is so much of what you just laid out there is a very deliberate design. It's a very thoughtful way of creating a space. And I think one of the things that probably more often than not happens is that a networking event is really just a room and a time. We're going to do networking now. And there's no thought put into what happens during that time. And I know for the Playdate Summit, we've put a lot of thought into creating a structured environment. Very welcoming. People have roles. There's a lot of things that we're doing to make that a space that people can come into and feel welcomed and connected, and wherever they are on their comfortable or their comfort with networking, we've created it for them. But you're talking a lot about design here. And I'm wondering, what is it that you think is the conventional wisdom or the thing that hasn't clicked through yet that's causing so many of our networking events to be this just a room and a time or this free-for-all, rather than something that evidence from your own work has shown creates a better event for people, more retention, more connection, more involvement and engagement. Why is this not happening in your opinion?
You know, I have to say it's actually nearly 20 years, just shy of 20 years that I've been playing in this space and trying to figure this out. And I had a lot of opportunities for 11 years. We did 25 events a year. So I had a lot of opportunities through that meetup group. And so at the same time, I was organizing about 25 events a year for a nonprofit of various sizes. So I got to really think about this in different ways. I think that most people, when they don't have a budget for a speaker, declare it's going to be a networking event. And that's sort of the end of their planning. And it's such a miss. And I think the reason it happens is the people who are probably booking those kinds of events are themselves outgoing extroverts. Similarly, at a conference, which is a space I played in a lot, a conference will hear the number one request within the top three is we need more networking opportunities. That's what they'll hear from their participants. So they'll add more networking times. They'll add additional break time. They'll add additional time maybe between the sessions. They'll add a longer reception. All that is unstructured time, which really only benefits a small percentage of people who are not only outgoing and extroverted, which is a, you know, in itself a rare combination, but they have connections already in the room. So if you don't already feel like you're at a reunion, those spaces just are overwhelming and can just feel daunting. So one of the things I do for conferences that could be interesting for this space as well is because I work with Feeding America, for instance, as one of my event clients, and their events move, some of their biggest events moved back to in-person. Some are still virtual, but I meet with every single session owner and I help them design their 75 minutes and I give them ways to introduce sort of greet people and engage them as they come into the room. So we have a whole experience about that. But an overarching theme is you're one of my five, which is this idea that I came up with where we say to people, make note if someone says or asks something that catches your attention. These are the people, like write down their name, because these are the people you want to connect with during lunch, during a reception, during the breaks. And then what can you do to be the person that other people want to write down your name? Like, how can you more fully engage in this conversation? And now you've got these people on your list, at least five. You can go up to any of the people in the hallway or during lunch, et cetera, and just say, hey, you're one of my five, that thing you said. And it's the best opening line, no matter what your connections are. If you're brand new and they're like on the board, they're going to want to turn around and hear what that's about. And they're going to want to talk to you because you're specifically calling out a thing that they did or said or asked about that caught your attention, and that's your connection. So you're one of my five is like a really favorite, one of my favorite ways to sort of equalize a space. And when you couple that with my croissants versus bagels that you sort of hinted at earlier, and that's about physical stances and body language, those two things combined make these sort of unstructured spaces a little easier to navigate for those that are newer to that particular group.
Something you said about that kind of struck me with the You're My Five, because it occurred to me that the after conference networking is so much easier than the pre-conference networking. And that could be for me because I'm not a morning person, but I suspect it actually is more that because when you first arrive, you may not know anyone or you're looking for people you do know. So you're gravitating towards your places of comfort, or maybe for, in my case, that might be the corner and waiting to talk to some people. So maybe then I meet some people. But when you find people that you connect with throughout the day, maybe at lunch, maybe in some of the sessions, you're sitting next to someone, something resonated in the same way with the two of you, that when you get to the after conference, now you have people, right? You have people that are your people.
I have a yes and for that.
Yeah. I was going to say, does that occur to you also?
I think it does, but I think making these things explicit as opposed to implicit makes a real difference.
Yeah.
So a lot of the ways I make adjustments, I call them micro adjustments before, during, and after a breakout session for in-person. When there's concurrent sessions, bros breakouts, there are micro adjustments. So often when people are coming into a space, there's no noise, everything's silent. The organizers, speakers, the front of the room, like setting up the PowerPoint and fussing. The panelists, if they're there, are talking to themselves, you know, amongst themselves. And the first few people who come in will duck out of the vibrant, chaotic hallway because they didn't really know other people and they didn't know where to stand or who to talk to. And they will come into this completely quiet space and sit as far as they can from each other and get on their phones. And I want to disrupt that. So one of the ways we disrupt that is we have specific people assigned to greet. And it can't be the same person who's doing the opening remarks because they might be fighting with PowerPoint or something else. So we want somebody else. And if it's early morning, you want a person who's a morning person to do this job. But greet people, welcome them, sort of interrupt that silence. And I'd like to have icebreakers up on the screen so that it's something for all of us to think about. And now whether we get into conversation or not, our brains start to engage on the topic a little bit so that we're a little bit warmed up and receptive to what's coming next. But if there's tables in the room, I will have the tables all designed to be different topics or different regions or something else that would cause some commonality. So people can start to find their people. Like, that is the whole thing about leaving your house to go to an in-person event. It's about finding your people. We no longer can say that our events are just about content. We've never actually thought that. The reason we left our house and traveled really far away sometimes was for the mix of content and connection. And virtual events need to provide that now too, which is sort of the mantle I've taken up is figuring out how to do that. And I have been able to do that. But I think it's both a mixture of content and connection. So how can we help people find their people? So one thing to do very tangibly, Jeffrey, is to have people say their name and maybe their organization or their, like, where they live or some other thing every time they speak to the full group. So if you're doing report backs or something like that, have people say that each time, or at least their name, so that their name can be written down, so that people can think, oh, Mary Smith said something, let me write that down. And then you want to say before lunch, hey, take a look at your list of five and think about who you want to go up to right now and invite them to sit with you for lunch. Like, we just sort of spell out, we demystify the best practices that really good networking people are doing themselves. We're making it evener, like, playing field. And we have to talk about the croissants and bagels because we're leaving people like hanging on.
Got to do it. Got to do it. I opened it up and then you got to bring it home.
Okay. So bagels are those tight clusters of shoulder to shoulder huddles where people are standing in these tight little circles that you feel impossible to break into. And a croissant is when one person in that group shifts their body language to make space for others to join. And you end up with that little bit of an opening. So it's more of a croissant and not a closed bagel. And so it's about how you're standing so that you are receptive. Even if you and I were just standing together, we could stand facing each other with our feet directly facing each other. That is a please don't interrupt this conversation moment, yep. Right? Like, that's me kind of almost cornering you and saying, like, I'm going to talk to you and I don't want to interrupt. Or I could stand more casually with a more open stance, even if you don't change your body language at all. I'm making it easier for a third person to join us. That's a difference when you're doing a one-on-one. But if you're doing a small group, it's about being aware that there are people circling, looking for a way in, letting them in. If there's a pause, letting them know what you're all talking about. So even those little spaces, being a good host, letting people, oh, we're talking about, you know, Jeffrey's trip to Alaska. Back to you, Jeffrey. Right? It's just little things to help people feel welcome to engage. So there's no one having to kind of play their way. Like, I don't know. I was given a networking book by a boss years ago. And when I opened it, there was a line about tripping and pouring something on somebody to initiate a conversation. And I like closed the book and I thought, that's just a good way to get a dry cleaning bill. Like, yeah. That's not a good way to start a conversation. And we've all seen the comedy movies where people join a group and they laugh when they don't really know what's going on. And then everyone kind of looks at them because it's clear they don't know what's going on. So I'm not saying you should fake your way. But if we all are aware of the fact that we're here to meet people, we will be more receptive to actually doing that. I have one final tip for you, because you've mentioned a couple of times hiding in the corner. It's actually one of the worst places to be, because someone like me, an outgoing extrovert who talks with their hands, might stand in front of you blocking your egress and you might be stuck there for half an hour. So instead, what I would recommend is that you go and stand or sit at an empty table. And then anybody who comes by, you make eye contact and nod them over or wave them over, because they are also looking for a place to land that's safe. You don't have to go looking for people. You could become a safe place for people to join you. But if you find that that conversation isn't where you want to go, you could more easily walk away from it because you're not stuck in the corner blocked by that person. So I do this a lot at buffets, at lunches, at conferences. I will sit at an empty table near where the buffet is sort of ending, and I will gather people together and we will end up with a great conversation. And they're all so grateful to have found quickly, because, you know, they're walking around with their little plate of food, a place to gather that they end up all bonding and then staying connected the rest of the conference. So that is my tip for anyone who feels like a little anxious being in a space. Just find a way to host a smaller little microcosm.
I love that. And I'm going to, when you said that, I immediately in my mind, I named it Safety Island, right? So like, I will create a little safety island for the others who don't want to go into and start, you know, talking with 20 other people. You can come to Jeff's safety island. So I appreciate that. I love how much of what we covered here was about the design of the event. And I am so truly grateful that you are involved in the design of the event. I'm excited that a lot of the things that I came up with prior to us even talking about this stuff is in alignment with a lot of the things that you're talking about. And I am just so excited about the event we're putting on is going to have so much great content, so much opportunity for play and engagement and ideation, but the networking portions of it where people get to connect, I think are just going to be fantastic. And I am so excited to have you there. I'm excited to see you at the Playday Summit. And I hope that those listening, watching, will consider joining us at the Playday Summit.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Ideas in Play is brought to you by the Playday Summit. To see if the Playday Summit is coming up near you and to get tickets, go to playdaysummit.com.